When it comes to political issues, Latino voters in the U.S. are usually seen as one-issue voters, and that issue is immigration. But politicians are leaving out a topic of major concern to Latino voters, and that is climate change. What? You've never heard that global warming is a big issue for Hispanics? Well, then listen to this. According to a survey from August, 74% of Latinos, 74% think the U.S. government should set national standards to prevent global warming and climate change. That poll was conducted by the polling firm Latino Decisions. You're not convinced yet? Well, how about another poll completed by the New York Times and Stanford University earlier this year? It found that 54% of Latinos rated global warming as extremely or very important to them personally versus 37% of white respondents. In fact, 8 in 10 of those surveyed by Latino Decisions said they had already experienced climate change, like heat waves, intense storms, yet most said they had never been contacted by an environmental organization before. Nicole Hernandez-Hammer is working to change that. She is the Southeast Climate Advocate for the Union of Concerned Scientists, and she's been working with Latino communities in South Florida, elsewhere, on issues related to climate change. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey there. When you started working on climate change, did you see environmental organizations or government agencies reaching out to Latino communities in Florida?
You know, not so much when I started, but I would say over the past 5 years, we've seen a lot of action on climate change. The organization I'm affiliated with, UCS, is working hard to reach out to Latinos organizations like WWF, Voces Verdes, Sachamama. There are a lot of groups now, so it's a really exciting time to be working in this field.
Is it not obvious where many Latinos live, like in South Florida, that flooding they see coming from the oceans when there's a high tide like there was last week? I saw pictures of Florida, part of Florida, about Miami, underwater. Isn't that obvious that the sea level is rising due to global warming, that there is climate change going on?
Absolutely. And I think that's reflected in some of the poll numbers that you mentioned before. Latinos live in areas that are vulnerable to climate change. In fact, if you look at the Latino population, 49% of us live in coastal shoreline counties compared to 39% of the general population. So we are starting to see the impacts, and we are starting to see them in our communities.
So Latinos might have to deal with more fallout from global warming, like sea level rise, than other Americans do.
That's right. Yeah. We are more vulnerable. And if you look at the states that are most vulnerable to climate change, and you compare that to the U.S. Census data, the lists are almost identical. So Florida, California, Texas, New York, and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Is this being lost on the politicians who never think about, you know, endorsing climate change or thinking that it's really happening, that they're now, you know, and that they're not in step with most of the Latino voters?
Yeah, I think they're starting to recognize that and starting to change their approach. Republican Congressman Carlos Curbelo and Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton are starting to talk about climate change and starting to talk about addressing sea level rise in South Florida. So that's encouraging news that we're starting to move in the right direction, but there's still too many politicians that haven't gotten on board just yet. And mm-hmm. climate change isn't a problem that's going to happen in the future. It's happening now, so that needs to happen quickly.
Is it happening now across all socioeconomic Latino voters, or just some more than others?
No, it's happening across the spectrum. In Miami, we have billion-dollar condos right on the beach, and then we have low-income communities further inland, and both are seeing the effects of saltwater intrusion and sea level rise.
You know, because when I was looking at the pictures from the Miami Herald, there was some great pictures in there, and when I was looking for those pictures. You see saltwater, when saltwater comes into your neighborhood, and it comes in, and that one was about the big full moon we had last week. Once it gets there, it does incredible damage, saltwater does. And to have repeated, you know, tides overflowing the streets is really something that is not just devastating, but very expensive.
It is very expensive. There's flooding that goes into homes, and once the flooding recedes, The moisture that's inside some of the homes creates mold and affects people with asthma and other respiratory issues. Also, when the flooding happens, we have a series of canals throughout the county, and it's sometimes hard to tell the difference between the roads and the canals. And sometimes people drive right into the canals during flooding events. Mm-hmm. So there's a series of things that happen because of the inundation. In fact, some car companies no longer honor the warranty on the cars because of saltwater damage.
No kidding. Talking with Nicole Hernandez-Hammer, she's the Southeast Climate Advocate for the Union of Concerned Scientists, on Science Friday from PRI Public Radio International. Would that also be spreading possibly to not just car companies, not car insurance places, but what about homes? I mean, if you constantly get inundated with, you know, salt water.
That happens now. There are some folks that are paying more on the insurance on their homes than they are on the actual mortgage. Mm-hmm. So the rates continue to go up. But because there are subsidies that help some folks continue to develop in the areas, we haven't seen the greatest impact of that yet. But certainly the trend is towards higher rates for most people that live in coastal communities.
How did your own experience living through Hurricane Andrew as a kid influence your interest in climate change?
I think that understanding the power of nature and how it can completely change your life. We moved to a different town. I went to a different school. I was a teenager at the time. And my whole world changed. And we were in the house when it was destroyed. And we lost everything. We just came out with our lives. And so knowing that in the future, we're going to get less storms, but they're going to be more intense. And knowing how much the population has grown in Miami-Dade counties, like it has in many other coastal communities across the country, you begin to think about what people are going to be dealing with in the future. And it's not just a one-time kind of event when you're dealing with sea level rise. Mm-hmm. That kind of inundation is the new normal. And the infrastructure that we have now was built for a time that we're no longer in. So we are not adequately prepared in the county to deal with this new normal.
So how do you get this? We're certainly in an election season on all fronts, Congress, presidential. How do you get this as part of the discussion among political parties?
That's a great question. Something I did over the summer is I went up with a group of moms that live mostly in low-income communities that are vulnerable to sea level rise in Miami-Dade County. And we spoke with the staff of Rubio and Nelson and shared our stories and the issues that we're having and our concerns for the future. And we're hoping that begins to change their minds about the issue. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our best to communicate, both in terms of science, but in terms of real stories. Because I think ultimately you can show someone all the graphs and charts you'd like, but when you're standing in a full foot of salt water on a sunny day and the water's going into your home, there is no room for doubt or for a fabricated discussion on climate change. You know it's real.
Yeah, that certainly is. Thank you for taking time out to be with us today, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
Nicole Hernandez-Hammer, she is the Southeast Climate Advocate for the Union of Concerned Scientists. One last thing before we go. If you go to bed late, like I do, that might explain why you gain weight. UC Berkeley researchers found in a 5-year study that adults and teens who have late bedtimes on weeknights gained weight no matter the amount of exercise, sleep time, or screen time. And that would certainly explain my additional pounds, not to mention the midnight snacks, which were not mentioned in the survey.